Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Hi, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier from Odyssey's Nerd Talk. I'm your host, Gregor, and he's on the whole freaking opposite side of the country. Of the continental USA, I don't think we could be any further apart from Florida's Space Coast. He's Siege. Hello.
Hello, Gergasaur.
Yes, I love that. Neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or technically a dinosaur, but I'll take it. But if you are, especially if you're a dinosaur, let us know what we get wrong or perhaps what we get right. And if you could do us a huge solid, you could tell a friend or even write a review. I think that Apple Podcasts is the best place to write a review, but I'm not sure. That's where we always look first, at least. I understand we have a new one.
Yes, we do have a new one. This one is 5 stars. Hooray!
Yes.
And written to us by our good friend Chode Munch 122.
Of course, yes.
All right, beautiful. So Chode Munch says, I have never been a podcast person. We seem to be getting a lot of those lately.
Yeah. Good.
I have the attention span of a gnat on crack on a good day, but a pal of mine recommended Nerd Talk to me, knowing full well that I am a biochemist with a deranged sense of humor. Sounds perfect.
Oh, yeah, you're our people.
Yes. A goofy nerd by character and by trade, so I decided to give it a shot. And man, I absolutely loved it. They spelled loved. I always say she. Sorry, I just assume.
Sorry, Chode Munch.
I absolutely loved it, and loved is in all caps. I played it on my commute home from an incredibly intense and difficult day at work on Monday, and it not only enticed the scientist in me, but also made me cackle laughing. Legitimately turned my day around. Absolutely love these guys. You've gained yourselves a fan in me. Prayer hands.
Oh, man. Chode Munch, you're the best.
I love you, Chode Munch.
Yeah. I'd like to take a second here for those of anyone that can see this video, which is you and me. I'm having a real good teeth day. Look at that.
Look at that. Man, yeah, what'd you do? Get those Crest Bite strips?
Nah, just natural beauty. See,
natural beauty. Like I could go. Let's see. Meanwhile, mine are all stained red because I'm over here chugging like a cough syrup.
Yes, he's got the Sizerp going.
That's right.
the codeine and the whatever else it is.
I'm not sick at all. I just really like the taste. It brings me back to my childhood when everybody tried to shut me up.
That's sad. Siege, a lot going on. I had the excuse to get dressed up, and as I alluded on social media, you can follow me. Go to nerdtalkplus.com to find all of our socials. I got a chance to dress up for charity.
Yes.
And I own 3 suits. One of them I got married in, so burn that. Another one is from when I was like 20 something, so I look like it has like shoulder pads built in. It's real bad.
I love it.
And then I have this one real nice, like just casual, not casual, but sharp looking black suit. So threw that sucker on it. I got to MC an event for Posados Animal Sanctuary.
That's so cool.
It was really cool. And like, I met this auctioneer, and I happened to already know an auctioneer, which is weird. So I asked him, I was like, you know this guy? And he was like, no. And then they were like, he was very nice about it, but I like to pretend like they're beefing. And he's like, I'll kill that guy. Like, yeah, you should. Auctioneer fight. And like, if someone could also, you know, color commentate what's going on or play by play, the auctioneer fight, I would love that. That'd be really good for me.
I feel like that's asking somebody in a community, hey, do you know this other guy from Florida?
And then they're like, Siege? Yeah, I know that guy.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, definitely. It's like, okay.
Makes sense. How many auctioneers are there in Western Washington, though? Like, really?
I mean, that's got to be a limited bag. I mean,
seven?
I don't exactly go to that many auctions in Western Washington, but I would assume that there aren't that many of them going on concurrently where you need so many of them.
Yeah, it's like how many events. So I told my friend that, and he was like, shout outs to Mike Hawk from the men's room on 99.9 KISW.
What up,
dummy? He's an auctioneer in his free time. Yeah.
Mike Hawk.
And yeah. And so he does, you know, like probably a dozen or so events a year. And he got trained by like the legendary so-and-so whose name I can't remember. And then he does the guy that trained him does the Seattle Humane event that I'm at. And I see him and it's like, oh, wow, this is. Like, how many events are there? So I told Mike, I was like, yeah, was that an animal sanctuary thing? And he's like, oh, I did one of those last weekend at the animal sanctuary in Tacoma. And
oh,
I was
my God.
Like, this is like
hitting the animal sanctuary circuit.
So I told him, I was like, hey, man, I really enjoyed. I just volunteered my time just trying to be a nice guy. And that's not a brag. I just don't have I don't believe in like fake it till you make it as much as some other people do. And so like I needed to do one of these and I've helped out with them before, but I've never been the only one presenting. And so I did it and I was like, oh, this is exactly what I can do. It's like scripted. I just say things and smile, make jokes about turkeys. It was like right up my alley. And
turkey
so I was
jokes
like,
are right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, dude, it was awesome. Like one of the things that they said that the guy does is like, they're like, yeah, he tells, you can like help endless amounts of volunteers help out with cleaning the stalls and brushing the llamas and reading to the turkeys. And I was like, turkey story time sounds like something that is really right up my alley. I feel like, yeah, it's really well suited to that. I think I'm going to try and bust into the like auction emceeing world and see if I can't get some gigs just off of my local startup.
This would be amazing. I want to be like your personal videographer.
Yeah.
Get like all the action shots.
Yeah, the guy was taking all the pictures. He was like standing at the back of the room the whole time. I wanted to be like, hey, the guy with the camera, get up here. I look great today. Anyone who knows me knows that this is not how I talk ever. But like today I've got good looking teeth and I was dressed sharp in a suit and let's go.
When you're feeling it, man. Go for it.
Absolutely.
Get over here with the camera now.
I saw a bunch of social media, and also we talk every day all day, but I saw a bunch of social media for you, Siege, that something big is developed in your world that you technically can't talk about.
Yeah, I technically can't talk about it, but since nobody listens to us anyway.
Except for Chode Munch.
Except for Chode Munch 122. Thank you very much, Chode Munch 122. Oh, see, I can't even remember your name. I'm sorry. It's just how
I am. It's the cough syrup. It's okay.
It's the cough syrup and the coffee and whatever that stuff was that I just sprayed in my throat that's tingly. I have just gotten a very nice part as the voice of a certain cartoon character that I'm not really allowed to say much more about, but it is a big cartoon coming to America for the very first time. And also I am doing two voices in a wonderful Turkish import that I can't talk much more about either, but it's going to be fun. I'm going to be doing voiceovers probably for about 6 hours tomorrow. So that's probably why I'm chugging all the cough syrup now.
Yeah, it's real good that we're wasting your voice on telling jokes about Chode Munch and whatnot. So that's,
that's my preferred. It's my preferred method of using my throat. Wait.
So normally I would let you lead off with the cool stuff that's happening to you, but I was like, me emceeing a charity event is not anywhere as cool as voicing cartoon characters. The dream for anybody who's ever been both a ridiculous person and use their voice for any kind of skill ever. Like, congratulations.
Thank you, man. It's such a like happenstance thing. You know, it's just some of my friends in comedy and stuff like that know the things that I do. And they're just like, you know what? There's this one kind of project that's coming up that's kind of super secret. And we're trying to find like just the right. And I think you might be. And I went in there and it was supposed to be like a little 10-minute voice test for what happened to be this, and next thing you know, I've got like 6 hours to go tomorrow. So, I'm really happy about it. I'm like elated. I'm trying to move further into the good stuff, into using my voice more often as my full on career. So this is a big, big, big step for me and I'm really happy about it.
I can't decide if I'm going to go. This is not about me. It's just about being inspired by you is what I'm trying to say.
Wow.
I can't decide if I'm going to go and try and do more improv or if I want to go and do acting classes to get better suited for some of the improv. Because I've got like an improv foundation, not anything really great, but like I understand the game. The skills are probably not there, but like I don't know if like the ability to act a little bit on top of improv is what also opens some doors or whatever. Cause obviously I've used my voice for forever to make money, but like, how do you get that next step? And it sort of seems like that.
I mean, for me, I mean, as a comedian, like I know I say that, I feel like I say that way too much, but I mean, we tend to jump onto that sort of thing, but in that comedian world, and I love doing improv, I coach improv. I teach a lot of stand up and writing and sketch writing and all that fun stuff. And what it comes down to is a lot of the skills that you need to do come from the improv first. So like if you've got a foundation in improv, even if like you took classes a decade ago and you feel like going back and going into some of those drop-in classes or whatever. And I even know some locally there by you that you could probably jump into anytime. And just that little refresher can help so much. The acting stuff, yeah, I mean, the classes is going to end up being a lot of the same stuff that you know. Yeah, they'll help. They couldn't be bad, but at the same time, it's basically just like, for TV, you have to do it less. For stage, you have to do it more. And it's about the subtleties of this and the others of that. But if you get the improv stuff, you're getting all of that in multiple different forms. So, I mean, I always just say go improv first, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a good point. The other thing I want to do is take singing lessons. Hey, I'm just going to take advantage of this platform. We got a bunch of listeners but enough that, like, if you know somebody who is a singing instructor or like is taking singing as their like major in college or something like that, wants to make a little money on the side, let me know, because I actually want to develop my ear a little bit and learn to sing a little bit, because I'm working on this like metal project and I want to be able to like really go for it. But I'm like, my pitch wanders so bad that I need help with that. And so if you're listening and you have any singing abilities and you want to share them with me or help me through them, I'm willing to pay for them. I just need to find the right person that could work with a dummy like me.
And you know what? Actually, if you know anybody in Florida that might be able to help do that, or anybody that would do it online, I'm definitely down to do that too, because some of these cartoon things that they ask for like some musical type stuff, like not saying that I'd get a Disney or a Pixar or something of that ilk, but there's definitely people out there who look for like some people who can carry a tune. You don't have to be good singer, but just at least carry a tune. I'm a good mimic. Yeah. You play anything for me and I'll be able to kind of repeat it. But yeah, no, I'm not a great singer by any means. And I would definitely be interested in that as well. Let's get a family trip going, group discount.
Seth MacFarlane, he's like the perfect example of that, where when he was like 30 years old or whatever, he took all those opera classes, opera singing and show tune singing, and he like learned how to really sing. And now he's made a career out of being both despicable and, I mean, awesomely despicable.
Yeah.
But also being able to write musical numbers, and people are suckers for that.
Yeah.
Glee was a thing for some reason, and that's why. So, yeah.
I mean, more power to that stuff. I mean, I definitely see you doing stuff like that, especially if you're getting back into your music stuff. Yeah. Man, that's gonna be awesome.
I've got this like really drony like electronic metal album brewing inside of me that I can like hear in my head, but I'm not ready yet to turn it over. And I talked to one of my friends. We used to be in this this like experimental group. This is cool. I don't ever talk about this. I'm excited. We used to be in this experimental group together called Out of Control Robot Arm.
Nice.
And it was weird.
And, I love it.
There's like a visual element to it. And this is all like, the problem was though, is it's all pre-internet. So I have like all these 4-track tapes that we would use and that we would record live and stuff. But like, I'm not hooking up my 4-track player to my MacBook and figuring that out right now. I know, because I got a kid, I got so many other things going on, and Rubik's Cube and karate and all these things. And I'm like, I need to go back to it. But rather than that, I'm kind of the mind where I'm like, let's just make a big garage band, like soup. I was like, my buddy was like, let's make a techno record. And I was like, awesome. But I want it to be really dark and unapproachable for most people. And he was
hell
like,
yeah.
He was like, great. another non-successful thing you want to do. And I was like, yep.
So. The best creative stuff is stuff for you, not for anybody else.
Absolutely. Don't do things to make other people happy. Make things that you think are awesome, and then other people will be inspired by your own interest and your own awesomeness. It's like, it's infectious. So,
all right, well, let's get rolling here.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, right? Just like, seriously. That's how I got into radio. I just wanted to be part of music, and I just wanted to be part of the music landscape, and I wanted to be able to yell on the radio, and here we are.
I mean, as you and I have had like personal conversations about this aside, like I was in radio for a long time, and then kind of got sidetracked by like the whole family stuff and everything else like that, and figured out, and also, you know, giant corporations stealing my jobs, and now that I want to get back into it, I have to go submit to a giant corporation and want to. But honestly, the people who inspired me to get back into it was people doing things for themselves. Hey, Gregor, and me being inspired by that and being like, yo, this is legitimately exactly what I pictured and what I wanted to do. And the way that you did it with Full 90, all the way back to like, you know, pre-Brandon and everything, Nerd Talk before. I mean, You and what? So you're from Seattle. I mean, I can just list off a whole bunch of like podcasts that you have done and just been like, yo, this guy just gets it. And this is exactly how I wanted to do it. And it's possible. And that's why I'm back here, to be perfectly honest with you.
That's great, man. I'd love to hear that. Speaking of making a return, just when you thought Blockbuster was dead, it still is.
Oh, I was
Netflix,
like,
did you see this? They're pivoting and they're going to open permanent retail stores as soon as 2025, which I think is absolutely preposterous. At the same time, I'm like reading this headline and then the one below it is like, what is it? Best Buy. No longer selling physical media. And
that's,
I'm like,
that's literally where I was going with it. I was like, wait a second. Doesn't Best Buy do that? And then Blockbuster's going to come in and only do that? Or are they going to sell like washers and dryers as well?
That'd be so wild. You go to the Netflix store and you go home with a Dyson vacuum. You're like, what happened here?
Filter?
Netflix, like the details are still kind of like not super clear, but they're going to open physical locations called Netflix House, and not like the house music that I'm making that's real dark, that's inaccessible. A thing. I think it's unaccessible. Inaccessible?
Anyway,
Netflix House will sell physical, not media, but things like if you want that Stranger Things sweatshirt or props from the shows or stuff like that. They're going to have a whole store dedicated to supporting things.
They've done the pop-up stores. I mean, they had one down here in the Aventura Mall in Miami, and it was like for 6 months, it was just like spoiler alert. It was like the whole arcade from whatever season that was, or I guess it was season all of them, but it was the mall scene from, it was season 3 or something like that from Stranger Things. And they had just like the whole set. It was like full on 80s. People would get dressed up and go to the 80s. Cause I mean, 80s Miami was like legitimately.
Yeah.
All of the neon colors. And I mean, that was awesome. Yeah. They sold a ton of stuff like that. I think it might actually still be there. It's almost like 2 years old now.
Yeah. When I found out that it wasn't selling DVDs, even though like they could, like, I guess you use like the mail order. They just like concluded doing that. So you like use the mail order DVDs as coasters or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, Bloodhound Gang style or something. I don't know. The thing that I can't get over is that they plan to serve food, and I'm like, what are you going to serve? Like, have a slice of death pizza from the Upside Down. It's covered in Gorgonzola cheese. Ah.
It's going to be like, retro food. Wait. What was the name of the store that they sold the hot dogs? Oh, man, if they sell corn dogs, I'm there. That's all I need.
You and my buddy Cool Keith. Shout out to Cool Keith. Sup, dummy?
Sup, dummy?
You say there's a corn dog somewhere. He's there.
Yo, I'm on it. I mean, that's what this S thing tattoo is for. My buddy's in the corn dog squadron.
I thought about that. I was back to just personal news. I have this blood clot right now, and I like had to do like $2,000 worth of blood testing to figure out what's going on because I've had two blood clots and I'm not 75 years old. It turns out I have I'm a mutant.
Nice.
I have a genetic mutation.
X-Men.
I'm going to X-Men school before you know it. I'm extraordinary, obviously. Aww. And so I'll be at X-Men school with... One time John Manley asked me what my favorite X-Men character was. And I was like, on the spot, I didn't know what to say. And I was like, Professor X. And he's like, you picked the crippled guy? That's who your favorite X-Men guy?
Shout out to Manley.
What's up, dummy? It's obviously Magneto now. Like, now that I know what's up. When I can think about it, it's like, Magneto. Like, it's not... Professor X is cool, especially played by, what's his name, Captain Picard. That's rad or whatever. But it was like, that's... But I want to go to his school now that I'm a mutant. You know, can die from blood clots, man.
I like it, though.
But I have to be... I found out that I have to be on medicine for the rest of my life because of this mutation, which is like a giant bummer, right? But then I was like, Doc, can I do karate? And he was like, absolutely not. And I was like, I'm so close to my black belt. It's like months away. No. So we're going to work that out. It's fine. And then I was like, can I get tattoos? And he was like, absolutely you can. And I was like,
yes.
He was like, yeah, for sure.
Thank God.
I was like, all right, cool. And then I thought I should get the Corn Dog Squadron Stussy S that Siege has and not tell him. And now I'm telling you because I've been drinking, but...
That's okay.
Also, this is pre-recorded on a Monday night. I'm not at work drinking, so.
Yes, he is.
Anyway, yeah, I kind of want to get that S, and then I was like, "What if Siege copied one of my tattoos, what would he copy?" And then I don't know.
You know exactly what I would get. Hell yeah, I'm getting the Calvin and Hobbes style Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Oh, you're not going to get the Belgian Grand Prix circuit?
I mean, like, I would think about it, but no, I'm definitely getting
No, what you would
T-Rex.
Get is the two stars that I have for the Sounders for the two championships.
Well, I mean, you know, I got my stars up here somewhere.
Oh, that's right, that's right, that's right.
I got, like, I have way too many things. I got my little Seattle Freeze cloud, little smiling cloud face that says, F*** off. Oops, mark it.
That's fine. Congratulations to the creators of Minecraft. I don't know a lot about Minecraft, but I don't even know who created it. But they have the best-selling video game of all time, which I don't think is actually new news. I think that that's probably like people, that makes sense. Every kid ever is playing it. But it has now officially moved 300 million copies. Now, Siege, I ask you, you know what other game did that?
No idea.
The Rubik's Cube.
Are you serious?
In the 80s, it sold enough that maybe it was 100 million. I don't know. It was enough that like every household in America statistically would have a Rubik's Cube because it was that popular. So that's technically not a video game. I get it or whatever. I want to know how much profit 300 million sales translates into, though. Like, it must be astronomical.
Like, especially when it comes to an electronic game. I think of a lot of that stuff like now where, especially when it comes to creative stuff, like, for instance, like podcasts or videos or TV and stuff like that, where the creative is an electronic piece. Like, I mean, how we were talking about like NFTs and whatever else before, except this is something that you actually own and you actually play and you actually use, where you create a set of data and then basically any kind of money that you make after that is all essentially going into server power and floor space for you to invent the next level of the game.
Yeah.
Like that's gotta be astronomical. I just found out this guy's name is Marcus Parson and he's a Swedish guy, but his name was Notch online. So, I mean, shout out to Notch.
Mojang Studios, a Swedish video game developer based in Stockholm. And it like, you know, when I hear that, I think like Minecraft, Microsoft probably, right? Or something like that. But
yeah,
to find out that it's based in Europe and everyone is like a square brick type guy, I'm like, oh, this kind of makes sense that it's Swedish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, My son loved that game. Like, when I first heard of it, it was actually because he was playing it and I didn't understand any of it. He was just like, you want to play Minecraft? And I downloaded it onto my phone to check it out and everything else like that. And I saw these little bricky people. I'm like, you have to build stuff? I was like, I don't have the patience for any of this.
No
Not
way.
At all. But yet he built these entire worlds. He built a giant world of the S, the big old S thing. Like just
that's so cute.
Like rave green and blue bricks to like make it not just the S thing, but like Seattle Sounders S. Which was incredible. But it's just incredible to me that these kids, they just find the time. And he was learning so much. Like, you have to build this. You have to take this kind of chemical metal ore and combine it with this kind of chemical metal ore. And it would do this. He was like, chemistry, science. I was just like, man, this kid's way too smart for me.
I learned about it when there was a video that went around of somebody made a pig launcher where they like stacked up a bunch of TNT and when you flip the switch, it all blew up a certain way and then a pig went shooting across the world.
Can we do that?
That's awesome. And then it turns out, I guess there's like actually other components to it where you can like, there's things that can eat you and TNT and all this stuff. But like, I know it most right now. I've become the most familiar with it because of freaking TikTok.
Of course,
on TikTok,
right?
For 6 straight weeks, it just showed me, it's like, hey, you bummed out? Let's go to let's find Reddit stories, have an AI voice read them, and we'll, as the background to them, we'll make it be Minecraft. Just like parkour, okay. Like Minecraft parkour. And I'm like,
oh,
I'm
yeah.
Like both,
no,
I'm
I've
both
seen
getting
those.
Bummed out by
I've
it.
Seen
yeah,
those.
Yeah.
And it's just like the computer voice reading the story of this guy.
So I came home and my boyfriend was definitely banging my mom.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, why does that guy keep falling into the lava? This is really annoying me and I don't want to hear about people's relationships failing.
Why can't he jump over that rainbow?
And now all of a sudden, all of that is gone. And I don't know if like TikTok was like, okay, we've punished him enough and he's still here. Okay, good. Or something. I don't know what it was, but if anyone else was getting served those and it went away, could you please tell me again? Nerdtalkplus.com for our socials at Hey Gregor. I'm not on. I made a stance today, Siege. I was like, I'm done with Twitter, and I'm not one of these jerks that's like, I need a social media cleanse or whatever. That's not what I'm going for. I just think that really Twitter is the Mos Eisley of the online galaxy. It's just a, what is it? What do they call it? A hive of scum and villainy. That's it.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
It's no good. It's no good. There's a few like hot chicks that I follow where I'm like, I'll miss you, hot chicks. But for the most part, I can find my connections on other social medias or whatever.
Yes.
That aren't as toxic as Twitter. And so, but yeah, if you want to find me and tell me whatever the thing I just talked to you about that I've already forgotten,
AI jumping Minecraft.
Oh yeah,
people.
Like the Minecraft parkour Reddit stories on Twitter or on TikTok. If you were getting them and if they went away, those are the two pieces to that I would love to know. So
I still haven't upgraded my Twitter app since. They put the X as the thing on there. I've still got the bird. I haven't upgraded it yet, but I'd still see all the scummy. The only thing I use like Twitter for, honestly, is just sports stuff with my friends locally and shouting like into the void and yelling about toll roads.
Yeah, that's just it. Is I like need an outlet to be like, Seattle people, how come when one person is going 10 miles under the speed limit, everyone else just joins in? There's no traffic jam. There's a wide open roads ahead of you, but like just 48 is good enough. Like, why do we just accept this? Like, what is this sheep mentality that these are the things I want to tweet? and I can't. So I just end up processing those things and being like, whatever. And then I just talk about them on the radio, I guess.
See, what sucks is like I end up having to get all like doing stage work and stuff like that, and people know you and can find a way to cancel you very easily. I end up having to get my name at Siegeness on every single platform available. Like I've got at Siegeness on Mastodon, Blue Sky, like all the things that are just going to come and fail and not do anything just so I don't have somebody like fraudulently put out there just dropping hard R's on anybody.
Like, save that for the texts.
Yes, exactly. That's in the text chat.
Okay, so this is so odd to me, and I don't know like what the motivation is behind this. Maybe you saw it. The Anthony Daniels, the guy that plays C-3PO in the Star Wars franchise, he's selling one of the original C-3PO heads from the films, which I think is like wild. It's going up at auction next month. You're going to need to bring all the Bitcoin because bids start at $1 million. And I'm for sure thinking it'll sell for twice that, you know, for like one of the original heads of C-3PO from the 1977 Star Wars. What do you think the motivation is to want to sell that? It's like he has a bunch of different pieces from that, and he's kind of clearing out his collection a little bit. Is it because he's getting old?
I mean, it's got to be. I'm just looking at the article right here, and it says the head is one of more than 1,800 pieces of movie and TV memorabilia that he's going to put in an auction. That's insane. Like,
that's his most identifiable thing.
Yeah,
like, name one absolutely. Other thing Anthony Daniels did. Like,
off the top of your head, yeah. What do you recognize that name? Like, you start going, oh, is that Jack Daniels' brother? You know, I mean, it's no, that's crazy.
Stormy Daniels?
Gregor's on the Twitter again. No,
yeah,
man.
I can't.
Yeah.
What's the motivation there? I can't imagine, like, other than like, do you have kids that you're?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. It's like that's something that you either leave for your kids. Or it's like, are you trying to like stockpile some cash for your kids?
Or maybe he did some like weird like sex stuff and he like put the helmet on or put the head on and then was like, you know, then it was like kind of wasted. And then afterwards he was like, never again, I'm selling this thing immediately.
I mean, if that's the case, sell me the tapes. I can get you so much more money for that. I mean, I know people.
I want R2's wiener that plugs into the things and twists around to like communicate with the Death Star. Yeah, I want one of those.
God, I wish I had an R2 noise right now. Nope, that's not it.
No, it's good enough. That's basically R2-D2.
Same thing.
Yeah, I just find that to be flabbergasting that you would clear out a collection like that. I guess sometimes like when you get old and you like realize that stuff doesn't matter and it's just, I don't know, the existence that you have is the only thing you really have. That
you
like,
sound like me right now.
Cluttering is it's my whole life, dude. It's
Yeah, I'm just like looking at stuff literally on the other side of this computer, just like, nope, don't need it, don't have the energy to get rid of it. And yeah. I take care of my parents. I've said this out here on before.
Yeah.
And I go, and when I get to their house, and they have this one separate room called the office, which isn't necessarily an office, but a collecting dungeon. Place for old computers and computer parts and NASCAR memorabilia and tax forms from 30 years ago and everything else like that. I mean, paper checks are stacking up the same, in there.
Do we have the same parents? Because that sounds really familiar.
I mean, yeah, maybe.
Explain a few things. Separated at birth.
Oh, my God. Well, we were only born like a month apart or something.
What day is your birthday?
December 23rd.
What is it?
December 23rd, 79.
Yeah.
What are you, 12980 or something? Why do
all
I
right,
know
creep,
that?
All right, creep, get out of here. Like, shut how up. Do you know that?
I don't know. It's just random stuff sticks in my head.
You better put on the Anthony Daniels C-3PO helmet.
I have your other social media platforms. I pretend to be you.
Oh, good. Okay, good. At least someone's doing something with them. I'm negligent for sure. Yeah. Same thing. When my dad died, we were like went and cleaned out his house, and it was awful. It was just like, what is all this crap? And it's like stuff that like my mom kept that I'm like, why are you keeping this?
Yo, and go ahead.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's just people cope that way, that like they like hate their lives, and so they're like, well, this is a thing that brings me joy, so I'll just hold on to it in this drawer that I never see it again.
I'm literally trying to do that right now with like my parents. My mom, when I was growing up in high school, we built an extra bedroom in the garage for me. Basically so I could have my own space, plus I had a side door to get out and other people to come in the middle of the night and whatever else like that, because I was
hashtag banging.
That's right. And so when I went off into, you know, when I was chasing radio around the country, and that was an empty room, my mom started filling it with all sorts of crafty crap and everything else like that. Now you go in there, it's like a solid wall of storage. And she's like, you know, if you want to set up your full studio in here, we can do that. I was like, yeah, if we get through these giant Tupperware tins of crafting paper and all that other
buttons.
Stuff. Yeah, exactly. And it's like,
I kind of want to hang out with your mom, if I'm being honest, because
my mom
love
is
crafting.
Awesome. Yeah. If you love crafting, you can get all the stuff that you need here. And then she will start about 15 different things at the same time. Yeah. And then they will go on for about 2.5 years.
Yeah. We're the same. I love yarn work.
Oh my God. Yo,
get to know Gregor.
You and my mom. Like, you and my mom are going to hang out.
Can we crochet together and then knit on opposite days?
Like, I'm like not even joking. You guys will get along so well. I got to say, in like 2009, when the Sounders first came up and became rave green and blue, she started... Yeah. Crocheting, or I don't even know exactly if it's crocheting. It's probably crocheting. It's got the little hook on the needle thing.
Yeah, crochet. Yeah.
And she started doing a scarf in 2009 that I think she completed in 2019. And it's probably about 17 feet long. And it's just green and blue, green and blue, green and blue. It's amazing. It's incredible.
Yeah, I need like deadlines to get stuff like that done. Like my friend was gonna have her second baby, and so I crocheted a Hobbs tiger for the kid before the other baby was born. I wanted to have it done so she would get a gift when the baby was born.
Oh my
and
God.
So I like made a Hobbs tiger, and it was like I was really freaking proud of that because I did a good job and I got it done. But then like the other thing was like I'm gonna make a Grover for my friend Brian. And like I started 3 different parts of it and then was like, nah, now I'm interested in Rubik's Cube. Like, bye.
So. Yeah. I feel the same way. It's like, God, how many times have I told you I was going to finish like all this audio stuff that I'm going to do? And I'm just gonna be like, hey, Greg, come check this out. It's like, I don't have a deadline for it. So I'm just keep.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like making a metal album. It's like, I really want to do that. But also like,
Rubik's Cube.
My house is a mess. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Rubik's Cube. I'm on a Rubik's Cube lull right now because I don't have a competition, again, a deadline. And so I'm kind of just taking not a break, but I'm just like, I've lost interest and I'm like now doing other things, like trying to not be depressed.
When was the World Rubik's Cube Championship coming up to Seattle?
Yeah, 2025. So oh, I got God, some time
so we got
still
2 years.
I'm going to try and help promote it. Like, I'm going to try and, like, get people excited about it in Seattle so, like, I can get in with the World Cube Association, obviously.
Well, we already told you that Brandon and I are going to come, like, pop smoke and wave flags and stuff.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
For 30 seconds.
Can you imagine getting kicked out of the Rubik's Cube
competition? That's my goal.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting someone is invading my podcast time with a text message here. Okay, sorry Ooh. About that. Yeah, so 2025. I have time to get back into it, and I don't have any delusions of like actually, you know, being incredible at it or anything. I just want to be able to show up and have fun because it is super fun.
That's just really cool. I honestly really want to go and see that thing happen. I want to like experience that because it just. I don't know, man. I just love seeing like all sorts of different types of nerd culture. Because yeah. I myself experienced just like so many of the stupid, like I'm a Spider-Man stupid nut and oh it like, I hide that very well, but Spider-Man to me, like this is one that I connected with as a kid and I am obsessed with all the Spider-Man movies, especially the Miles Morales ones. I'm just like, if you want to go into comic book detail about like the different worlds and the art that they use and every single thing of that, I will break it down. Like from Gwen being in watercolors to like Mumbatan being like all kind of offset print. So it looks like the printing presses in India and, you know, just like all sorts of stuff like that. But like just getting to see like everybody like in their own little bubble of like when you went to, what was it? Cybefest Northwest, Transformer one. That just exactly. seems That's so cool example. To me. I love that.
Yeah, it was... That's exactly it, because you see people who are the actual fans of this stuff that are like, that's not even a pop culture thing, that is like a true nerddom.
Yeah.
That's like not like nerd talk, we don't exploit anything, but it's not like us finding a niche, which is of people who are into nerdy stuff like Netflix or whatever. That's like real, like, first wave nerds right
yeah.
there. That's not the... capitalizing on it.
Yeah, that's like these people found their things and we're going and just collectively going for it as a group. And I love that.
Rubik's Cube is incredible for that exact thing. It's like Rubik's Cube is real, like you have to be really committed to it, and there's parents that are so happy that their dumb kid finds something to do. And I say that as one of those dumb kids who my parents were happy that even in my 30s that I was like doing something with my brain. So all right, I sent you this before we got started today. A company called, I wanted to say Levi Print because of Levi's, but it's Levi Print, is using sound waves, and not the awesome transformer at Cybefest, okay? That's sound wave to levitate small particles of stuff to build other stuff. Think like if you're trying to build a cube out of matchsticks or something like that. Then being able to like even move drops of glue to make them go all together and suspending it all in air using just invisible sound waves bounced between two paddle looking things. Like I tried to figure out what that would look like. It's like a person at a rave holding that Energon ball between their hands
the
and only they can see because
like
of
that,
the dirty LSD that they took or whatever after the Molly in the parking lot. Sort of like that when you dance with that energy ball. Only instead it's like two paddles that are emitting sound waves and balancing something in between. It looks incredible until people start getting off into their what do you call that? Their conspiracy theories were like, is this ancient technology the video ends with? And I'm like,
that
what?
Made me laugh so hard. Is this how the pyramids were actually built? With sound
people think
wave
that
technology?
The Egyptians chanted a sound frequency that was able to lift the gazillion pound blocks to build the pyramids. Because otherwise, how can you explain it? And it's like, well, pulleys and ropes explain it. And they're like, no, that doesn't explain it. It's singing.
No, it's definitely. Yeah, there's like. If you want to talk conspiracy theories there about the Egyptians and pyramids, like I have no idea how deep they go. There's legitimately somebody down here on a major platform who is 100% convinced that the Egyptians had Wi-Fi and they did everything with Wi-Fi. And then because of all the changes and everything, it kind of got lost. And then we didn't reinvent Wi-Fi. We didn't invent Wi-Fi. We rediscovered it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
You know, people that are into this, the people that like can buy into this, like definitely read the book series, The Three Body Problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
A History of Earth's Past, because they really talk about how advanced we get. And then as soon as there's a threat, how we completely fall apart and everything goes to crap like mm-hmm. right away.
Yeah.
Within like a matter of like a decade, everything that we've advanced to falls apart. So like, if you want to think in that school of thought, fine. But this is crazy. I studied ancient Egyptian history.
And they had Wi-Fi.
And classics, yeah. And how do you think I connected to the alien servers? It's obviously by Wi-Fi.
Duh.
I actually would believe that aliens came and helped the Egyptians before I believe that they sung the rocks into place. Sorry, but...
No, I'm right there with you.
Anyway, people like... what is this technology good for? And it's like levitating money out of people's wallets to try and get back. Or something. I'm like, okay, all right, all
right. Yeah, right.
What this is actually good for, this is the good news for once in the show, is that you could, within liquids, you like sound waves and liquids work really well together. So to be able to move things like, say, drugs in through your bloodstream to fight the, you know, the leukemia that you have. Or
to get high
like
quicker. This,
yeah, also, if you were trying to get, you know, that rush to your brain faster so you could get to the rave and hold the Energon cube.
Yes, please. Like, thank you.
Just that ain't no metal detector you're walking through at the airport.
Don't have to hide anything in my ass anymore.
They can release it for you if you do.
Yes, please. Nerd talk,
talking about nerd talk, yeah! All right, well, I guess that does it. Nothing like a butthole joke to end on. That's Nerd Talk Plus. Thank you for streaming along if you're listening live on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. or any way that you can listen to this pod. We love having you here, especially if your name is...
Chode Munch 122.
Chode Munch, yes. I'm sorry, Chode Munch. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but yeah, we...
Do not ever disrespect Chode Munch.
I got to make a... I put this on social media and... CJ and I have already gone over this personally or privately or whatever, but like last week I went back and listened to this show and I was flabbergasted about how I started this thing so many years ago and I was the least funny person on it. I was just the setup man. And then between you and Brandon just killing me, I was like dying laughing. It was so frustrating because I'm like, none of this is me. It's just two unpaid guys. Like, killing it. And so anyone who takes the time to go and write a review, and especially to give us the 5 stars, like, it means so much. Even, like, not just to the algorithm, not just to that crap, but just the idea that we, like, created this thing as a passion project. I don't do this, like, no one's paying me. Like, I get a salary from the station, but no one's like, if you meet these metrics, you get paid more. I just do it because I want to. And then to find two other people to go along with this, like... if you want to make us feel really good about it, you can tell somebody else or you can leave a review and just share what it is that you think is funny or whatever it is that makes you happy about it. Or if you just want to make fart noises in the comments, that's fine, too. The 5 stars goes a long way.
Yes. So,
I encourage you to follow us at nerdtalkplus.com. It has all of our socials on there. And if you could subscribe to the pod, that's really good. But just... I want everyone to know, maybe it's because I went to a weekend of helping raise money for animals or whatever, but like the gratitude I feel for this project and the people that are hearing it is just immense. And I just love being on doing this dumb thing every week so much. And anyone who's listened long enough knows that it's been the same way for Our Dumb Podcast, for Full 90, even so you're in Seattle, as Siege mentioned earlier. It's like... we've always done the same thing, which is just try and have an honest talk and make jokes while we're doing it. And so if that resonates with you, damn, that's awesome. So thanks a lot to everybody. Please leave a comment, 5 stars, and do all the nerdtalkplus.com things. I'm Gregor, and Siege, thanks so much, buddy.
Of course, buddy. And I just want to throw on the end of that there that if it wasn't for you doing this, we wouldn't be here. Like the three of us together. Yeah. Is an amazing mixture. I love it personally. I listen back to all these and I laugh my ass off constantly. But if it wasn't for you and the way that you do this and the way that you've made it open, I know I've said this to you offline, off air before, but if it wasn't for the way that you made this kind of like a comfortable, quote unquote, safe space for us to like actually joke and bring it and be funny about the things that we love, then none of this would matter. None of this would be here because it's you. You're the personality that brought this. You're the personality that started this, and you made it fun for us. And then that allowed us, and then you invited us to be a part of this. So thank you for that. And absolutely. I know how you hate compliments. So that's why I'm dragging this on as much as possible.
I'm just glad that I have the beep button. So that way when, you know, someone drops the whatever bomb, I can just beep that out and we can just move right on. It's like, I get to have full editorial control and I love it. So anyway. Thanks for listening. Tuesdays, 10 a.m. on the Odyssey app or find it wherever you get podcasts. NerdTalkPlus.com. Thank you, Siege.
Anytime, brother.
Hey, everybody. This is your friend Siege, chief Florida correspondent for Nerd Talk Plus. Coming to you live from the Kennedy Space Center at Cape Canaveral Space Force Base for today's launch of the Falcon Heavy rocket. The start of a years-long mission, the Journey to Psyche. I don't know what that is or what that means, but I've heard my therapist say it before, so it's probably important. I should pay more attention. It also happens to be the name of a giant all-metal asteroid that was once the core of a planet that sat between Mars and Jupiter. Who knew, right? It's going to take years for them to actually get there, and I hope in that time we realize that the Gurgons who live there are not the enemy, but humanity itself. The launch window opens at 7:19 a.m. Pacific, and I'll be here fighting alligators and stealing moon rocks. Back to you in the studio. What up, Seattle? This is your friend Siege, chief Florida correspondent for Nerd Talk Plus, coming to you live from the Kennedy Space Center at Cape Canaveral Space Force Base. Today, they're launching a Falcon Heavy rocket, which is kind of a big deal. It's basically if you took three giant rockets, taped them all together, and then fired them off into space. 27 engines of absolute insanity. It's only the eighth time we've ever launched one of these thrust puppies. This time, we're off on a mission to study the Psyche asteroid, the core of an OG planet. The seven previous launches were all Elon sending his cars to the moon and Mars so they're ready and waiting when he escapes with Bezos and all the other bazillionaires. Launch window opens at 7:19 a.m. Pacific today. I'm going to go try and slap some Sounder stickers on it before it flies away. Back to you in the studio. Ah! Siege! Nerd Talk Plus! Oh my god, so hot! So on fire! Too close! Mistake! Back to you!